You don't rest when you're laboring. You're resting when you are reaping the fruit of what you have not labored for. Jesus made a very strong statement. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored.
Welcome to Harvest Family Church. We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. Our prayer is that you would accept this seed of God's word in order to reap from the finished work of Jesus. Join us now for today's segment.
A lot of good things we learned last service. A lot of things that the Lord was teaching us last service about how Jesus Christ is our foundation. And you know what? I think we want to start. Let's start. Let's start from something that we had read last service. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, he said, as newborn babes desire, he said, the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. He says, coming to him, coming to Jesus, as to a living stone, coming to him as to a living stone. Right, he's steadfast and he's faithful. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by man. And what we talked about, I don't think it has necessarily a large application to this service. It was more to last service, but to mention it anyway. A living stone rejected indeed by men, right? So we talked about how what men are doing is men are building, right? Men are building and they're being built up, but not all men build on the foundation who is Jesus Christ. So what they do is that they reject the foundation, even though everything was made by him and everything was made for him, and all things are held together by the word of his power. Yet, even though all those things are like that, people will not acknowledge him as the foundation of their life, and they will reject him. And that's what it says here, that we come to him as to a living stone, but we know that he has been rejected indeed by men, but he has been chosen by God. And this is an important thing that we're going to go through tonight, I believe, and precious, right? Chosen by God and precious. And there are a lot of things that the Lord had been teaching us for a number of services about treasure, and we talked about that a little bit even last service about the Lord Jesus Christ being our treasure, and that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. But here it's good to know the Lord says that, you know, that he is chosen and that he is also precious. So one aspect of that word precious that I want us to look at is just the fact that there is no one like him, but not just in adoration kind of sense when you tell the Lord, Lord, there's none like you, but that literally, right, there is only one Savior. There's only one way. Life only comes through one way, and there truly is for our life. It's just one foundation, right? If our lives are not built on faith in Jesus Christ as our foundation, then it's interesting how the song kind of goes. I mean, the Bible doesn't say it quite just like that, but it's nice and it's correct the way it says it. All other ground is sinking sand. It doesn't matter what other way, what method, you know, and that applies to so many areas of our lives. And even, can I tell you something? Even something that the Lord has been bringing up, and it's been a good applicable thing in our lives to see that, you know, we see with our physical eyes many people doing a lot of things that are good. Right, but the Lord, you know, he's been teaching us that if the Lord is not the one who builds the house, if it's not the Lord that holds us, if it's not the Lord that brings growth in your life, if it's not him doing it, then those that labor, he says, labor in vain. Right? Those that labor in vain. So it's important to understand that the things that are not of faith in Jesus Christ, no matter how much good people think that they're doing, that labor is in vain. And I don't get tired of saying that because I think it's good for us to understand. You know, we get caught up sometimes in people that are not saved but that are doing apparently a lot of good for humanity. But again, you know, we'll say it over and over again. If an individual would be able to, and obviously they can't, but if an individual apart from Jesus Christ had the ability to raise someone from the dead and raise that person up from the dead 7 times in their lifetime, what good is it when that person is still damned for all eternity? What good is it to be raised from the dead when you're going to die and then go to hell? So, you know, it's vain. You know, it's vain. It's spinning our wheels, doing things in this world that we think are good, but in the end, things are like that. They're just meaningless. They're empty because it doesn't lead to anything past the end of this flesh. You know, so it's an important thing to understand that, you know, our flesh, like everything in this world, is shakable. Our flesh, like everything in this world, everything that you see with your physical eyes, everything is shakable. Nothing, our flesh does not stand, will not live forever, right? The only reason why we will have an eternal life is because God will raise it up by His power and give it eternity, right? But it doesn't last forever. Right, so, and by that, believe me, I'm not trying to give an excuse for sickness and disease either, right? Because the Lord will sustain your flesh by His power for as long as is needful until you're finished. So we don't have to die sick, right? You can leave this world, but you don't have to die sick, right? So those are two separate things. But with that said though, in verse number 4, he says, coming to him as to a living stone rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. So Jesus to us, and not just even to us the way we feel towards Him and the things that we know about Him, but that He is indeed, God calls Him precious. So there, you know, when you read in the Word of God how in Revelation, we were just reading the other day, how John is seeing the vision, and the Lord shows him, an angel shows him a scroll that's in the hand of God the Father on the throne. So the Father's holding a scroll, and that scroll on it has 7 seals. And John, understanding what was going on in the vision, he said he wept because there was no one in heaven or on earth worthy. No one in heaven and earth, no created being, no one that could go up to the Father, take the scroll out of the Father's hand and reveal what is written in it. No one. You have to understand this. That means that there is no way, no one that knows the Father. No one that knows the will of the Father. There is no one, and that's why Jesus said, only He knows the Father and Him who He chooses to reveal Him to. So that's such a, you know, I've been seeing that and hearing that from the Lord so much within the past 10 or 11 months or so, just constantly about, you know, the Lord showing me who the Lord is, you know, Christ revealing Himself to me to the exclusion of everyone else. To the exclusion of everything. I mean, when He says that He is Savior, He excludes everyone else and everything else. When He says that He is our provider, He excludes everything else. Every means of being provided for, every way of being helped. When the Lord says that He is your helper, so it's important for us to understand the Lord never shares a title that He has of Himself with anyone else. Never. Never. There is no such thing. There's no such thing as Christ being called something. Christ is Emmanuel, and so is that guy, right? He shares His title with no one. So everything that Christ is, He is to the exclusion of everything else. And can I tell you something? That includes being precious, right? That includes being precious. Let me just show you something, and we'll come back. So maybe if we can go, Miss Tammy, then we can come back. Matthew chapter 13. And we read this a number of services ago, but again, I just love the way the Lord weaves things in, because it's so applicable to what we're reading now. So Matthew chapter 13, verse number 45. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 45. And he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. You know what he was searching for? He was searching for a precious pearl, right? He found it, and look at what it says. It says, and he sold all that he had. He sold all that he had. So in other words, you see what happens? That selling all is forgetting all else except Christ Jesus and Him crucified. Excluding everything else and saying, Lord, only You are Lord. Only You are my help. Only You are my sustain. You know, we're going to come back to Matthew 13 again, because there's an application there. He says he was searching. What was it that he was searching for in verse number 13? You all remember? pearl, right? A pearl of great price. Keep that in the back of your mind because it's important, right? Don't, when the Lord shows you things like that, don't let them go. Keep them and say, okay, Lord, pearl, right? Because those things come up and it's good, and He'll remind you of those things. So in verse number 5, right, we already said that God said in verse number 4, He's chosen by God and precious. Look at verse number 5, what He says, you also as living stones. You also as living stones. And you know, it's important to kind of note a little bit that we won't go there yet, but okay. So you also, it says, as living stones. So just as God calls Him precious, right? So we are precious and so we are living stones. And you can say, well, I thought you just said though, that the title that God gives to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? He doesn't give and share with other men, right? So if He's precious and He's a living stone, then why are we? Exactly. Right? Exactly. Because we are what we are because of Him, not because we are. Right? Not because we are. Someone can be healed through your ministering to them, right? Doesn't mean you're the healer, right? Someone can be helped, right, by you ministering to them, but it doesn't mean you're the helper, right? So there are many things that are of us. I mean, we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but our righteousness is as filthy rags. So which one is it, right? Are we the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, or is our righteousness as filthy rags? Well, what it is we are the righteousness of God. It is not our own righteousness, but it is His righteousness. So it's important to always see that He, in other words, He who is, because we're one with Him, it doesn't mean necessarily that when He gives you that title, when you hear Him speak of you that way, right, that is who you've become in Christ. And it's always good to remember that, right? Because an arrogancy can come from not knowing that it is Him and not you, right? Because Paul didn't hesitate to say that he was the least among the apostles, but yet Christ worked mightily in him. And why? Because he rejoiced in his weaknesses, because God was strong in him. So you would look at his life and say, well, that's a strong man in the Lord, right? Exactly. He's a strong man in the Lord, right? But not in himself. Not in himself. So that's good to see. So he says, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect. And again, he says to him, precious, right? A chief cornerstone, elect and precious. And we don't have time necessarily to go into that. You'd have to listen to several services before. But we talked about Zion. We talked about Mount Zion being, right, that's the church. And the chief cornerstone, obviously, that's our foundation, who's Jesus Christ, through whom without Him, all the foundation crumbles, right, without Him. Right? So then he says, it says, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on Him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, He is precious. To you who believe, He is precious. So you know what he's saying there? To you who believe, He is precious, meaning to us who believe, He is the only one. To us who believe, He's the only way. To us who believe, He's the only help. And you know, there are a lot of things in our hearts that need to continually get renewed in all of our minds, right? That need to continually get renewed with Him being the only. Because we reach out for a lot of things. And we reach out for, and there are times, honestly, we don't reach out for anything. We just allow things to fester in our lives sometimes, and we're not reaching out to Him who is the answer. So in other words, so things are still in our lives because we haven't acknowledged Him in that area of our lives. We haven't reached out to Him. So we may acknowledge Him in different areas of our lives. So reaching out to something else or reaching out to nothing, right? Either way, it's vain. It's good to be able to see, though, to understand what it is that He is precious, to treasure the Lord, right? Because that's what a number of services ago, right, the Lord was teaching us that if you delight yourself in the Lord, then He'll give you the desires of your heart. And we learned that delighting ourselves in the Lord was what? Delighting ourselves in the Lord was delighting ourselves in the work of the cross. Understanding what God did for you through the cross, right? And that will order, it will bring a delight in your life just to understand. In other words, you won't have to do things because you have to do them. You won't read your Bible because you're made to do them. You don't have to come to church because, well, I haven't been there in a long time or because it's my duty to do it. But you, it's that, you know, when you, as you come to know the Lord, right, you've tasted and you've seen that He's good. Now you're accustoming yourself to eating what is good, right? You tasted and you saw that He was good, but now you've accustomed yourself to eating what is good. And a lot of times that's what happens in our lives, is recognizing, and as we're learning and growing in him, you come to a place where you see, Lord, you are good, and you know why you say that. When you say he is good, it's not because something nice happened to you that day, but nothing nice could be happening to you, but you're still okay. You know, when before pre-service prayer, when we were going to pray, many times I've said it before, you know, I'm going to ask you anyway how you're doing, but I know that you're good. And sometimes people can say, well, I'm not really doing good. I've had a bad day. But no, but everything is well with you. You just may not know what it is. You may have forgotten that all is well, right? Because the woman that was going off to the prophet's house and her son was dead, right? And her husband asked her, how is everything? And she said, it is well, right? Her faith was somewhere. So there's a big difference. Things can be happening in your life, but they are well. So I understand what can happen sometimes, that we get to griping and we get to complaining and we get to carnal thinking, and that can happen, but quickly bring your heart back and understand you are well. There's the fact of your life and of who you are is that you are righteous and everything is well, and there is a reason, right, why you can have rejoicing in this and the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Just because you don't feel it or because your circumstance around you don't say that, don't mean that you're not. So it's another one of those things that we continue to renew our mind to understand the reality of what we have versus the facts of what you see. They're different. Most of the time they are different, right? So he says that to us who believe, he's precious. To us who believe, he is precious. Let me take you from here if we can. And can we go to Ephesians chapter 2? Let's go first to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And you know what? I got to kind of put the turbo on because we're going to run out of time. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse number 1, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, and as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able. For you are still carnal, for where there is envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like what? Like mere men." Like mere men. What does that help you understand? That you're not. Right? Why are you behaving like mere men? I mean, if somebody were to tell you that, right? Why are you behaving like a human being? And you say, well, I am. That's why I'm acting like that. Right? So obviously, that'll help us understand it. But that's a whole different point. But, so he says, why are you behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God is the one that does what? He's the one that gives the increase. He's the one that brings growth, right? So as a person who receives the seed of the Word of God, right? Or just like, you know, you plant the seed in the ground, and it says, and you go to sleep and you rise up and there's growth, but the person that planted it doesn't know how. It just grew, right? That's what the Word of God says. You don't know how you grow, but you know that you're growing in the Lord. Why? Because it's His doing. The Bible says it's marvelous to see the things that the Lord does in our lives. Marvelous to see what He does. We know that it's Him doing. It's God that causes the increase. He's the one that gives the increase. It says, so then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Verse number 6, he says, God gives the increase. Verse number 7, he says that neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, because again, it's God who gives the increase, right? So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. He says, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are God's fellow workers and you are God's field. Watch what he starts to say now. For you are we are God's fellow workers, so laborers together with the Lord, right? Doing the ministry that God wants to do in his church. He said, we're fellow workers with God, and you are God's field, you are God's building. Now it's important to understand that when he says God's building, he's not talking about like you're his building, meaning that it's something that's built. When he says you're God's building, means you are what God is building, right? You're God's building, meaning ing doing it, not building the thing, right? But more building the action of what God's building. So you're God's field and you are God's building, right? It's God who is building us up, right? In Christ. So he says, So look at what he says. He says, according to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Paul is the one that's writing this. 1 Corinthians is written by Paul. So Paul is saying that he was one of the 12. And you know, it's interesting. I have heard it taught that, because you know when Judas betrayed the Lord, right? And he hung himself. They chose another, and I believe the one that they chose was Matthias, right? Was the one that they chose. But here's an interesting thing to understand. The Bible doesn't count Matthias as one of the 12. And you're going to see why. It's not that he was not chosen and became one of that group of 12, but it's an important thing to understand that he was not one of the ones that the Bible is calling out as one of the 12, and you'll see why. Because here, Paul says that he has laid a foundation. So watch what he says. According to the grace of God which was given me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. Now watch what he says. No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So can you stay with me on the word precious for a little bit and see? When the Lord says that he's precious, right? Here he says there is no other foundation, right? So the Lord Jesus Christ, he alone is the foundation. So in our heart, you understand from what we're seeing, there is no other foundation anywhere that can do anything for an individual. He is the only foundation. He is the only foundation. That kind of excluding in our mind, it helps you so much. Why? Because sometimes in your mind you still think, you know what, God is good, but God can also use this. And people say that all the time. When they want to get out of what they have not learned about Jesus, they say, well, Lord, I know that that's true, but Lord, you can also use this. So I ask you to bless this. Right? Listen, God does not heal people, right? People always say this, right? Oh, Lord, use the doctors. Use the doctors, right? God doesn't heal people through doctors. God healed people through Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. Now people can receive physical help from a doctor, but that's not called healing, right? They receive physical help from a doctor, but that's not called healing in what the Word of God describes as a person being healed and made whole, right? Healed and made whole. It's not the same thing. If the doctor puts a cast on your leg, and that leg is healed, and that fracture can be seen, but yet if you look at it, it says that it becomes even stronger, right? It becomes stronger, people say, than even the bone that exists because it's mended itself, right? The truth is, though, you look at it, it was still broken, now it's not broken, right? But it's mended. Healing is not mending. Healing, when the Lord says that you're healed, right? It's like you didn't have a limb and now you grew a limb, right? The Lord is the healer. There's only one healer. So that's an important thing to understand. So it's not, now people say that a lot of times. Why? Because they don't have the faith to say that they trust the Lord. So they're going to say, Lord, that they would use the physicians, right, to heal them. So again, is there something wrong with going to the doctor? No. Is there something wrong with going to the hospital? No. But don't talk yourself out of believing God, right? I mean, just putting excuses in our path doesn't help us in growing in our knowledge of Christ, right? All it does is put things and excuses in our path as to why we really don't have to go all the way and really know the Lord in that way, right? But it's good. Do things that you can do if you believe that you need help where you are, right? But don't put something in hindrance and say, well, God can do this instead of that. Listen, there is nothing ever, and here's something good to see. The Lord never has a plan B to what Christ has done. In God's way of doing things, He doesn't have a plan B. We have plan Bs, right? God does not have a plan B. If you want to know what is the Lord's perfect will when you're sick, ask Him and He'll tell you. And it's not that you can take Tylenol and not have a headache anymore. That's our plan B, and that's okay, that's fine. And you took Tylenol and now your head doesn't hurt anymore. But the point is, right, the point is that that's not God's way, right? He has an A way, and that's the way that He does it. Now, the fact that we have plan Bs, people have plan Bs, but you see, if you do that, then what you'll do is you won't put excuses in the way, but you'll want to continue to grow in the knowledge of Him, right? So today you took a Tylenol and you know what? You said, you know what, Lord, I don't know you that way. I want to come to know you that way. So continue to grow in that. In other words, don't put anyone beside Him. You see what it is that the Lord is saying tonight? The Lord is precious. Don't put something else that you think is precious next to him, because it's not, right? There is only one that is precious. There may be things in this world that help, but he is precious, right? In other words, make him, we're learning to make him precious in our mind to the exclusion of everything else. It's a beautiful thing. All of it encourages you always to come to know him more. Always to come to know him more. If you're not living 100% in any area of your life to what you know about Jesus, keep knowing him. And you know what? How many of us are living 100% in every area of our lives? None of us are. So what do? Encourage one another constantly to know the Lord more. Watch what he says. Watch what he says. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. But if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, and that word endures is something that the Lord's been teaching us also about, right? Because the only things that remain, right, when this world is shaken, the only things that remain are those things that are solid on Jesus Christ, right? Well, as you grow in the knowledge of Christ, and you're growing to know things in the Word of God that are about our Savior, right? As you grow in the knowledge of Christ, those things are never shaken. You know, it's a beautiful thing to understand. Those things are never shaken. You don't go back and have to erase it and unlearn those things that are about Jesus. Most of the things that you have to unlearn are things that are not founded on Christ. And that's still what we're going through, right? Trying to unlearn the stuff that we learn that are not founded on Jesus Christ. Anything that you learned that was founded on Jesus Christ is never eliminated. In other words, you had heard, no matter what church you went to, right? If the church was a church that believed in Jesus, right? You may have heard this said somewhere. Our faith should be in Jesus, our Lord, right? That's never shaken. It doesn't matter where you go. Now, the same church that says that really preach about putting your faith and using it as a work and doing all these things and don't stand behind what they're saying about our faith being only in Jesus. But the way you learn it, it's only in Jesus. I have my faith only in one place. My faith is not on tomorrow, on a circumstance. It's not on anything, only in Jesus Christ. So you learn to single things out. The Lord is what? He's precious. He's precious, that means to the exclusion of all else. He's precious. So here he said, there is no other foundation. So let's go. There's no other foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So let's go now, Ephesians chapter 2, where we said we were going to go. Ephesians chapter 2, and let's go all the way to verse number 19. Verse number 19. So good, stay with me, because now it starts getting even better now. Now it starts getting even better. So remember, just keep everything that we've said in past services and throughout the service today, and you'll see how it'll come together now. It says, now therefore, right, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 19, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but watch what he says, but fellow what? Fellow citizens, right? Now, in past services, we said, we have not come to Mount Zion, but we have come where? We have not come to Mount Sinai, but we have come to Mount Zion. It says, and you know what? Just for the sake of it, we don't have to go there, but I'll just read it to you. Right? That's actually out of Hebrews 12 or 13. It's Hebrews chapter 12, and in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 22 it says, but you have come to Mount Zion. Mount Zion is to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, which is the gathering, right? The gathering, which we talked about several services about how I love how that goes, right? The way the Lord has showed us with our logo, right? With the wheat and then being wrapped, right? The gathering of the wheat, and the wheat is what? The saints gathered together, right? By the Lord. He's the one that gathered. He's the one that keeps all things together by the word of his power. And it says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. If you're registered in heaven, that makes you a what of heaven? A citizen of heaven. If you're registered in heaven, that means you're what? You're a citizen of heaven. Your name is written on the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life. Right? The Lamb's Book of Life. Our names are written in the place, right? In the place of the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb who gives life to those who have their name in that book, right? Right? It's good to know that. It's good to know. But really, right, when you think about that, the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, I won't. We won't go there, but that's different. So, So it says, to the general assembly in verse number 13, and to the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. So here's what he talks about there. When we go back to Ephesians now, in Ephesians, he said, Ephesians chapter 2, and in verse number 19, he says, now you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but your fellow citizens with the saints. In other words, you are a stranger and you are a foreigner of this world. What he's saying is you're not a stranger and you're not a foreigner now of what? Of that world and of that city. You're not a stranger of Mount Zion. You're not a stranger. Mount Zion is the kingdom of heaven, right? The kingdom of God. You are a stranger now of the kingdom of this world, but you're no longer a stranger of the kingdom of heaven, right? That, you see, that ought to change your mind about things and help you see things a little differently. The Lord says about you, no matter what you think you know or don't know yet, right? He says you're not a stranger and you're not a foreigner in the kingdom of God. Those things don't have to be foreign and weird and kind of strange to you. The things of this world will grow. I like the hymn says that this world will grow strangely dim. Strangely dim. The things of this world will grow strangely dim to you, where you just, you don't find a commonality there anymore, but yet of the kingdom of heaven, there is commonality there. There is citizenship there, right? So he says, you're not a stranger and a foreigner, he says. You are not a stranger nor a foreigner. It says, but fellow citizens with the saints. What saints? The spirits of the just men made perfect, that I just talked about in Hebrews chapter 12. The same thing that it's talking about here. Fellow citizens with the saints and members, it says, of the household of God. Members of the household of God is the same thing as saying members of the temple of God, right? Members of the house of God. All that means the exact same thing, right? We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're the temple of God. So here he says in verse number 20, it says, having been built. Now remember what Paul said, right? Paul said, he says, I have laid the foundation, and as a wise master builder, he says, I have laid the foundation, and that foundation, he said, is Jesus Christ, right? Now watch what it says here. He says that we who are of the household of God, who are not strangers to Mount Zion, he says, we have been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So watch why this is important, right? So, it's good. You're going to see it in a second. Let's read the rest of this so I don't leave you halfway. So it says, we're being built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So in other words, right, the apostle lays a foundation. So you can say that the foundation is of the apostles, right? That the foundation is of the apostles. Now, the apostles, the foundation that they're laying is what? Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the foundation. Jesus Christ is the foundation. But just like sometimes it'll say that Jesus Christ is the foundation, it's not incorrect to say that the foundation is also the apostles. Why? Because the only reason an apostle, right, the 12 apostles are the foundation is why? Because the foundation that they lay is Jesus Christ, right? Now stay with me here. So it says, in whom the whole building being us, right, the household of God, in whom the whole building being fitted together, the Bible says that we all as living stones are being built up into a spiritual house, right? Here it says that in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. So into a holy temple in the Lord. So when you hear the Bible talk about it, and we're going to read it in Revelations in a second, right? It's talking about the bride of Christ, the bride of Christ being seen as a city, or the bride of Christ being seen as the holy Jerusalem or as Mount Zion, and she comes down and now here what it says, or it's talking about the household of God, but it also synonymously with the household of God, is calling us also a temple in the Lord. A temple in the Lord. So the idea that you should have in your heart is what the Lord is doing is that He's bringing us all up, fitting us all together as the body of Christ, right? And then as He fits us all together, He is the joint that supplies to each part of the body. When you read when Paul was preaching about how there are different parts and different members of the body, and each part does its own part by the power that the joint supplies to each part of the body. That's saying that every member of the body of Christ does its part because the power of God is supplying what every part needs for every good work, right? Where here, it's saying a very similar thing that it says, in whom the whole body, being fitted together by the Lord Jesus Christ, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now stay with me here, because remember the crux of what we're saying is that Jesus Christ is precious, right? That He is the treasure, that He is precious. In other words, that it is Him to the exclusion of everything else. So let's do this. Let's go if we can. Let's go to Revelation. Revelation, let's do that. Revelation 21:9. Now remember several of the things that the Lord was showing us, right? He was saying he was saying that we're being built up, right, on the foundation, right? We're being built up on the foundation of the apostles, and Paul himself said, he said that he laid as a wise master builder by the grace of God, only by the grace of God, not by anything that he had, but by the grace of God he laid the foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 9 now. He says, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. He carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain. Why? Because that's when the Lord talks about the kingdom, when He talks about Mount Zion, it's always talking about how we have come up to Mount Zion, and here He brought him up to a high mountain. And He showed me the great city. He showed me the great city. The great city that the Bible says that we are citizens of, right? We're citizens of that city, right? It says, showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, right? So Mount Zion, the holy Jerusalem, right? All of those things are all synonymous, right? And He says, descending, He showed him the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, her light was like the most what? Precious stone. Her light was like. Her light was like the most precious stone. Don't let your mind go and say that her light was like a precious stone that you go and see at Zales, right? That's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about go see a stone and that stone that's brilliant, that's how her light was. There is one who is the precious stone, right? There is one who is precious. One. And it says that she had the glory of God and her light was like His light. You follow what He's saying? It's calling Jesus Christ the precious stone. So it's saying having the glory of God and her light was like the light of a precious most precious stone. So who is the most precious stone? Jesus Christ is the most precious. We give right out of our lives. You see the glory of God, but it is His glory. He's called the light of the world, right? But the Bible also calls us what? The light of the world. But our light is His light. It's not our light, right? So that's what it's saying here. It's saying her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now watch this. Also, she had a great and high wall. Watch this. And also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates. This is important, right? How many gates did it have? It had 12 gates. Watch this. 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates and names written on them. Names that were written on the gates. Now watch. Which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 12 tribes of the children of Israel, right? So in other words, so Reuben and Gad and Simeon, right? The 12 names of the 12 tribes were on the 12 gates. Now watch this. 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. And you know what? I don't want to get us all caught up in in physical things of it. But you see how cool the Word of God is? If you have, imagine this. This is a square room, so this is perfect, right? If you had a gate there, and a gate there, right? So you have three gates, right? Three gates. So three, 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 and three. How many walls then do you have, right? If you count them, right? It's exactly how he's describing it. Watch what he says. He says three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations. So a gate doesn't have a foundation. A gate doesn't have a foundation. A gate doesn't have a foundation, right? So a gate is a door. A gate doesn't have a foundation. A gate is a door, right? But a wall has a foundation. And the Bible says that we are being built up into a spiritual house, right? So the saints, right, for the sake of what he's teaching, right, are the walls, because that's the glory. In other words, John is seeing a city coming down, and he's describing the walls, right? But he's describing the walls as her. I mean, he's telling her that he's going to show her the bride of Christ, but he's pointing to something that has walls, right? So obviously the glory that she has is being used synonymously as walls that are built already. Walls that are built already. Now watch what he says. He says, now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of what? Of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. On them, on each of the walls, were the 12 names, the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, why is that, right? Because we just read that we're founded upon the foundation of the apostles. We're founded upon the foundation of the apostles. So when he's describing the Lamb of God, what is he saying? He's saying that the foundation of the wall is written, what? The name of the 12 apostles. Why? Because they are the ones, the 12 were the ones that laid the foundation, the only foundation, who is Jesus Christ. So the city and all of its foundations are built only upon Jesus Christ. Right? Even though the names of the apostles show, so between every gate is a wall. Right? Between every single gate is a wall. And underneath every single one of those gates, what you'll see is that there's 12 gates and there's 12 walls, right? When you count what's in between every gate, you get 12, 12, 12 all around, and you get 12 again. The number of the tribe of Israel's were what? 12. When you take 12, right, and you multiply it by 12, which is one leader out of every one, you get 144. How many Jews does the Bible say are supposed to be saved in the last days? 144,000 Jews, right? So it's interesting to see how the Lord puts it together, right? So it says, he says, now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. You know, it's so good. It's so good, and we were talking about this a little bit before service, but, you know, people that call themselves apostles, right? But an apostle is one that what does what? Apostle is one that lays the foundation, right? Where God is not named, lays the foundation, names the name, the foundation by name, which is Jesus Christ. This is the only foundation. And gives people no other way of help, gives people no other recourse only than to come to the Lamb of God. Only to come to the Lamb of God. He says that it says now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square, like we were talking about here, right? It's laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth, right? So it's equal. And he says, and he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs, its length, breadth, height, and are equal. Then he measured the wall, and when he measured the wall, it was 144. It's just beautiful, the significance of the numbers, right? 144 cubits, according to the measure of man. According to the measure of man. 144,000 men saved. He calls the 144 cubits the measure of man. Now watch what he says, that is of an angel. It says the construction of its wall was jasper. Now here's what's beautiful about this, because you hear the Lord call us, you hear when he was saying how the apostle would build on the wall. You know what he said? He said that you could use, what could you use to build on that wall? He said you could use precious stones or wood, hay, and straw, right? Precious stones or wood, hay, and straw. But here he says, so you remember that, right? As you're being built up, you can only be built up with precious stones. Anything that's wood, hay, and straw will burn in the last day, right? It's just wood, hay, and straw. Wood, hay, and straw cannot build you, but precious stones, which is what? The gospel of Jesus Christ, right? Anything that is called precious, right? Anything that's called precious or a stone is made to be like the most precious stone. It's made to be like the most precious stone. So watch what he says. He says, the construction, verse 18, of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations, because there were 12, the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. It says, the foundations of the wall were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third, I don't know how to pronounce, and the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, I guess. The sixth, sardis. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysopras. Must be pretty. The 11th, yeah. And the 12th, amethyst. It says the 12 gates. Look at verse number 21. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Listen, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl. Now, listen, each individual gate was one pearl, and the city and the street, it says, of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Look at what it says. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Now what was it that we just read right in Matthew 13, where he said what? And I see that you're looking at, you're seeing it, right? He said, in Matthew 13, he said that man was searching for what? He was searching for a precious or a pearl of great price. In other words, he was searching for the most precious pearl, right? But don't get this wrong. They're 12 pearls, but they're not 12 pearls, right? Because the 12 pearls are 12 gates, right? 12 gates. Listen, 12 doors into what? 12 doors into the city. 12 doors into the city. Let's finish in John 10 then. Right, and you'll see it, and you probably already see it, which is great, right? So in John 10 and verse number 7, John 10 verse number 7, Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door to the sheep." I am the door to the sheep. In other words, Jesus Christ is the door to the city. He's the door to the city. And he says, "Most surely I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Listen, but the sheep did not hear them. The apostles laid the foundation of the wall. They laid the foundation of the city. So in other words, no one can enter in, right, whose foundation is not Christ. Right? Whose foundation is not Christ. The only way for a person to be saved is a person whose foundation is Christ. In other words, he is Savior. No one else can be Savior. He is Savior. That person is saved. Now some people, they're saved by the skin of their teeth and they live the rest of their life living carnally. But they can be saved if he is the foundation, right? If he is the foundation, the only way, and I know this is not a popular thing, right? But in order for him to be the foundation, he has to be the only way. James says, "Let a double-minded man not think that he's going to get anything from God, including salvation." A person cannot be saved if they have salvation in Christ and in some other thing. In Christ or someone else, right? If a person is double-minded about salvation, he cannot be saved. I didn't say that. James said that, right? A double-minded man, right? You can't be healed by God if you think that the doctor is the healer and Jesus is the healer and it's just whichever one comes through first, right? That's double-mindedness, right? So double-mindedness is, so for you to be founded on the rock means you've been built up on Jesus Christ. You have built your house on the rock, not on sand, right? So it's good to know. Look at what he says. He says that he is the door. So there's 12 doors or 12 gates into that city. Listen, every single door is Christ. right? Because he is the pearl of great price, right? He is, every single door is one pearl, it describes it as, right? And he is the one that man, when he was looking for the most precious pearl, he found it and sold it all. You see what it is that he's saying? There's only one way. It's not narrow. Does not mean that there's not ample room to come into the city. There are 12 gates, right? 12 gates into the city. And obviously, this doesn't really mean that when you go up to the kingdom of heaven, you know, and you were to see things the way they are, that you're going to say, "Oh Lord, can you show me the 12 gates?" Right? It's not about that. This is not talking about, it's saying that this is the bride of Christ. Obviously, it's not trying to get us to physical realities of things. It's trying to get us to understand who Christ is in our lives, right? There is ample room for people to come in. It's just whether you come in through the north, whether you come in through the south, whether you come in through the east or the west, right? He can only be the way in. But there are thieves and robbers that try to climb up some other way. And that is never the way. Every single one of those precious pearled gates, right, is just one pearl, right? And it's beautiful to see that. Just one pearl. One pearl. When he said that we were reading from Revelation 21, and now that's good to know, right? Revelation 21:21. It says the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl. And it's just so good to see that, right? It's so good for the Lord to bring you to that place that he's been bringing us, right? The narrow place that we've been talking about, right? And narrow doesn't mean, again, that there's not ample room in. Narrow just means singular, right? Narrow just means singular. For him to bring that singleness to your eye, he says that that's what he wants to do in your eye. In other words, in your heart and in your faith, to make your eye single.
And that concludes our segment for today. This message was recorded at Harvest Family Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Family Church meets at 10:30 a.m. on Sundays, 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, and 7 p.m. on Fridays. You can get more information about HFC online at bringingintheharvest.org, or you can call us at 845-295-4560. Thank you for listening.